We have been studying the Gospel of Luke, one of the amazing parts of our scripture. We began last December, and we started out talking about the birth of Jesus and the amazing things that happened as he was coming. And we've been studying along, and we're going to move a little ahead in the story so that we are on this resurrection celebration in the Gospel of Luke. Let me just remind you that in the first chapter of Luke, we found these words: "It seemed good to me to write an orderly account for you." Aren't you grateful that he wrote this orderly account for you? Yes. "That you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." So we're finding the things that we can be certain of. We found that there are a lot of things these days you cannot be certain of. Amen? Yeah. And yet there are these things, these matters of faith, these moments, and these great, great miraculous gifts that we can be certain of. And so part of that orderly account, of course, is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. So we've been looking at that this week. We've been taught a lot of things about Jesus, but some of them are not biblical. Some of them are. We may have heard or learned a lot of things about God and religion or what we think it means to be Christian. And some of them are true, but some of them are not. They can't be found in the Bible. And so that's why we want to draw near to these matters of certainty. Dr. Luke, we call him because he was a physician, wrote this gospel. And also the account of Acts. I just marvel that without Dr. Luke, we would just have very little about the early church. We gain so much from these two books written by this man. There are a lot of things that we can be certain of, and we began looking at those last December. We can be certain that Jesus was born into a real human family. He didn't just poof appear on a hill. He was born in a family. He was raised as a Jewish child, a Jewish boy, a Jewish young man in this family. We can also be certain that Mary, the mother of Jesus, it was a very unique birth because she had never been with a man, the scripture tells us. And she was visited by an angel who told her, "You're going to have a baby." And she said, "Well, how's that going to be? I've never been with a man." And so she was obedient as she heard this plan. And this is a child that's going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, the most unique human because a divine human to walk the earth, which later we understand the perfect sacrifice, someone who was human, fully human, tempted in every way, but was without sin. And so he is the high priest offering himself. And we've been looking at that this week in what we call Holy Week. We learned that Mary was obedient to hear that message and to change her whole life course and to bear this child. We learned about a human ancestry that Jesus fulfills the prophecy of the coming Messiah. So there are all these amazing things that are reported to us. Angels rejoiced and shepherds came to worship him. And then as Jesus began ministry, the Father affirmed that Jesus is his son. There's this moment, in case there was any doubts in his mind, he clearly had this very different life as he was growing up. But at the moment of baptism, there's this declaration, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so we have that affirmation. We see him standing on the word of God as he resists and rebukes the enemy in temptation. Sometimes people say, "Well, why do you look so much at the Bible?" Well, because Jesus did. You want to do what Jesus did? Come on. we want to have the same, stand on the same certainties and the same authority that Jesus stood on. We learn that Jesus, he spoke with authority that they had never seen, never heard before. They said, we just never heard anybody. He doesn't refer to the different rabbis, the famous sayings of the day. He speaks, and when he speaks, it's as if God himself is talking. Yeah, because it was God himself talking. And he came to bring this good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. He came preaching the kingdom of God, meaning the rule of God in our lives, how that changes everything. That is a relationship. He came bringing forgiveness of sins and healing. But he wasn't going to do that all by himself. He began calling disciples. And then, you know, disciples of rabbis would call disciples, or they would have disciples. They actually came and applied. But Jesus did it so differently. He went and chose the most unusual people. He went out and found some fishermen. Nothing against fishermen. Amen. I see you out there. But it wasn't a likely choice. These weren't religious scholars. He chose some fishermen. He chose a tax collector. He chose some political rebels, two of them zealots. He chose the extremists of the day, radicals. And so we have these unusual things going on. And that's because Jesus was all about relationship and not religion. He wasn't looking for religious people. He was looking to have a relationship with people, change them, and make them the voice of gospel in the world. Last weekend, we saw that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem with a deliberation. He went to the cross that he knew was what he knew what was coming. He announced it in advance. And he actually, when he was on the cross, he prayed for forgiveness for those who nailed him to the cross. He just a most amazing death. They said, "I've never seen anything like this." The centurion, he said, I've seen a lot of people die. I've never seen anything like this. And Jesus died. That's something we can be certain of. He didn't just sort of float away and appear to die or anything like that. That's what some of the cults had said. And usually, that's the end of the story and the beginning of a good religion. I mean, if you think about it, so far you have the makings of a powerful new religious movement. All the stuff, all the ingredients you need. A remarkable, charismatic figure who speaks with authority, a life-changing message that's different from what anything that people had heard of before. A whole new view on the God thing. Wow, we can get a good religion going with this. And now a leader who is dead, martyred, that actually is a good start for a religion because people are impassioned by that. But there's something else that's so entirely different, and that's what this day is about. This very profound difference, and that is the tomb. This empty tomb that is discovered not a long time later, but almost immediately, very early in the morning, on the first day of the week. Now, most religious movements, they have a tomb of some sort for their leaders. I looked it up. There's a green dome in Medina, and that holds Muhammad. If you want to get to know Muhammad, you can go to the green dome. He's there. He's dead. King David's tomb in Jerusalem holds David. The tomb of the prophets in Jerusalem is the burial place of Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi, the last three great prophets of the Old Testament. There's a place called the Cave of the Patriarchs in Hebron, where Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and Jacob and Leah are all buried. The bones are there. Some of those may be empty over time because graves get robbed or just time takes its toll. But the gospel reports an empty tomb and testimony about Jesus raised from the dead, this resurrection from the dead, just as he said, just as he predicted. Friends, that's what is so very different about this day. Hallelujah. That is what is so different about the faith that we come together to celebrate. So I want us to hear the word of God from Luke. It's a passage that we sometimes hear a little bit later. But Luke has this unique, some unique observations about the day and the things that happened in Luke chapter 24. And so we want to hear his account. He interviewed people. He was not an eyewitness. But boy, did he ever do the research on these things. So let's hear the word of God from Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood beside them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has indeed risen and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Let's stand and honor God's word, and let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the word made flesh to come and dwell among us. We thank you for the word of scripture that speaks to us, the testimony of the writers who bring to us these eyewitness accounts. And God, we thank you that we can find those certainties of life upon which we stand. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Every gospel reports the discovery of the empty tomb. They're all accounts similar, very similar things, very early in the morning on the first day of the week, things like that. But there are details that vary. I mean, if you go through, it's kind of an interesting study to look, flip back and forth between the four different accounts that we find in the scripture. We find ourselves asking some questions. Well, how was the stone rolled away? Some talk about it, some don't. What about this earthquake thing? You know, some gospels tell us about an earthquake and the tearing of the veil and these things that happen. How many women were there? Because it's a little different in each one of the gospel accounts. And who came first? And when did the disciples finally show up? And how many angels were there? And sometimes we want to back away and say, you know, Bible, if you can't get your story straight, why should I believe you? I mean, this is one of the criticisms. Well, the Bible contradicts itself, so I just can't even listen to the Bible. You ever hear that one? And the truth is that those who investigate things, they often observe that various accounts actually attest well to a factual event. The various accounts and perspectives confirm that the story has not been adjusted. It's not been faked. I've talked to investigators that's what they do for their profession, and they say, if the stories are all the same, we're really suspicious. Yeah, it means they got together. They said, let's get our story straight. And if any of this were faked, I mean, you would write things differently than this. But these are these eyewitness accounts. And in fact, they'll often say that it's a sure sign of tampering if many witnesses report those exact details. Now, Luke is one of those bringing to us a perspective out of his research. He obviously interviewed a lot of people. He interviewed the women. He knows things that we don't find in any of the other Gospels. And there's some details that we don't find in other accounts. There's a description of the two angels at the tomb. They're beautiful. They're powerful. And they ask this question, why do you seek the living among the dead? It's a kind of profoundly enduring question for us. You know, sometimes I've talked to people and they say, well, I kept going to the cemetery and going to the cemetery because the person I loved is gone. I know that they love Jesus. I know that there is a heaven, but I keep going. And it occurred to me, why am I seeking the living among the dead? I need to seek the Lord Jesus, and the living I will be with once again. That's an assurance of the gospel. Such a powerful assurance. Luke tells us that the 11 disciples didn't even believe the women. I mean, some of the translations say that it was an idle tale, but it also will say it was just a wives' tale. Just women talk. They thought they were crazy. And so it's this kind of oddity that happens that we don't find in all the Gospels, but Luke tells us. Luke and John both report that Peter and John, they ran to the tomb and they found it empty. And they looked in and they saw the cloths there. You know, John is also reports it, but he also is sure to put in the fact that he, John, outran Peter. Just want you to know. That guy's slow, but I waited for him. I didn't go in front of him. And so we have these different views. But this afternoon walk to Emmaus is found only in the Gospel of Luke. Often we read it a little later, a few weeks after Resurrection Sunday, because we're in the study of appearances. But it's just such a marvelous thing. Easter afternoon, everybody's confused. Really, all of the Gospels report there was just confusion at the beginning point. They did not know what had happened until Jesus begins to appear to them. And so Easter afternoon, these two are walking back home to this village called Emmaus. It's 7 miles, it says, from Jerusalem. And so most say that's about a three-hour walk. I think it's a pretty strong three-hour walk. And these two disciples, they're having a conversation. They're trying to figure it out. Along comes the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But they were kept from recognizing him. So they're talking about it. They're talking about their questions, their struggles, and they're sad and they're puzzled. They're curious about, well, what is going to happen next? This isn't what we thought was going to happen. But the one that we so much put our faith in is dead. And now the body's gone, and we don't know what has occurred. And so when they finally arrive at Emmaus, Jesus is ready to walk on. I'm just going to go on ahead here. But this Bible moment is a sort of Bible study before we get there. The two, I like to call it a walk through the Bible seminar. because beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained the scriptures concerning himself and the Christ, how all of this works and that he is the Christ. He explains how his suffering and anguish was necessary. This is what had to happen according to scripture, according to prophecy. And so they're listening to that. Wouldn't you have loved to have had that Bible study? 3 hours with Jesus. Would you have a few questions? Yeah, I mean, any time with Jesus, we have a few questions, but to hear the interpretation of the scripture as it goes on through, to hear that all put forth from the heart of the Lord Jesus. When they finally arrive at Emmaus, Jesus is ready to walk on, and they urge him, no, it's getting dark. You don't want to be out on the road at night. Come on in, stay for the night. And then as he's staying there, when he was at the table with them, Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he blessed it. And this is a moment of revelation. As their eyes are suddenly open to recognize him, I don't know why, I just kind of have this idea that as he broke the bread, he maybe winked at them. Like, you get it now? It may have reminded them of the previous Thursday. It may have reminded them of the other times when he broke bread. But it's a marvelous thing. And Jesus vanishes from their sight in that moment. Of course, then they race back to Jerusalem. They're not going to wait till morning. And it was a dangerous thing to be on those roads at night. Another three-hour journey. I bet they made it a little bit faster. Let's make it a two-hour journey. We're going to jog a little bit. And they can't stop talking along the way. Why didn't we realize this? Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures? Have you ever had a time like that where later on you thought, wow, my heart was burning within me when I was hearing that message, when I was reading that scripture, when I was talking to that person, when these things were happening? We call that the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was witnessing within them the presence of the Lord Jesus. And so they finally get back and they tell the others what had happened and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning of many appearances. Jesus is going to appear right there in the upper room where they were gathered. He's going to appear a week later when Thomas is there. At first, Thomas is not there. There's the doubt issues that are attached to that. The Bible records at least 10 appearances, the veracity, eyewitness appearances that are recorded in the New Testament. In fact, Paul lists many of those in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you want to go and just read a little bit. It's not a real long passage, but it talks about the appearances of Jesus and how we can stand upon the certainty of the resurrected Christ. One appearance was to more than 500 people at one time. How many of you know that's a lot of people? We've got about 575 chairs in this room. That would be a packed house. That means no arguments. Everybody saw the same thing. That's a big, big crowd, a big, big group. And the effect of that is that in the early church, no one questioned. No one doubted that Jesus was raised from the dead. In fact, many times it would talk about, and Jesus who was raised from the dead, Jesus who came back from the dead. Even some of the historians talk about him that way. So that wasn't the big thing. It's actually taking hold and trusting in that resurrection fact and that resurrection truth. You know, I would suggest that in many ways, Dr. Luke is the perfect person to bring us this story. And a lot of it is because he doesn't have a personal angle. He wasn't there to argue with others and say, well, I was there and I didn't see that, or I was there and I saw something else. He's just listening. He's just gathering the facts. Just the facts, man. Just the facts. As he's interviewing witnesses, as he's gathering together the truth of this day that we celebrate. Now, the walk to Emmaus, I'm so glad that he found that. He researched that. Others, I guess, didn't think it was all that important. But Luke said, this is amazing, this conversation that happened. And I think we love it because we have so much in common with these two. You know, if we're really honest, a lot of us approach this day with a lot of questions in our mind and even some grief in our hearts. We have the questions of faith. This is a long time ago. Did this really happen? Can I trust in this? But I would say that every Easter, every resurrection celebration, as I look out, I see you. I see the people that have lost someone since last year. I see the people that this is the first resurrection celebration that they are spending without someone really significant, really important in their lives. It might be a parent, it might be a child, it might be a life companion. And so these are hard. Now, how do I trust these things? How do I know? Can I trust those words of the Lord Jesus? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come back and bring you to be with me. These are the huge truths of our faith. We may come to this day with a lot of confusion. We may come to this day with a lot of questions in our minds and our hearts. But this is a day that's about learning to walk with Jesus, as the two on the road to Emmaus did. If you have questions, if you have grief, what a great time to walk with him. You might say, well, I don't even know him. They didn't even know him. Think about that. They're like, well, who are you? They didn't recognize him. And by the end of that three-hour walk and then a little time in the evening, then it is revealed. That's how you get to know him, friends. Walk with him. Walk with him a while. How do you do that? You do that in the Word of God. You do that by gathering in fellowship. You know, you do that in times of worship. You do that in times of prayer. But that's how we walk with him. I don't know all about him. I've been walking with him a whole long time, and I have questions. I've been walking a long, long time, and I feel like I get to know him more and more in fresh, brand new ways all the time. on this resurrection Sunday, this resurrection celebration, that may be the invitation that you needed to hear right now. Come walk with me for a while. Get to know me. So I would just ask you, I mean, do you have questions? Most of us do. I would say there. I have more and more all the time. There are things I when I get there, I got to ask, why did that happen? Why did that happen this way? Why did that happen in this timing? Why didn't this earnest prayer of our hearts, why wasn't it answered? We have questions like that. And Jesus says, come and get to know me. And if we listen to Scripture and walk with him over time, we discover the things that we need. If we put ourselves in his presence, there's a revelation that comes to us. And you know a marvelous thing about this? He still makes himself known to us in the breaking of bread. You know, the church has argued and argued over the years. Well, what exactly happens in the breaking of bread? What is the Eucharist all about? Is this literally the body and blood of Jesus? Am I drinking blood? Or is this a representation? Is this a symbol? Is this a remembrance? And really, I'll tell you the truth. It's a mystery. But what we do know is he makes himself known to us in the breaking of bread. He makes himself known to us as we gather around the death and the resurrection of Jesus as we eat and drink this until his coming. So ultimately, today is a day of faith. Ultimately, the empty tomb and the resurrected Christ are a matter of faith, but not blind faith. The evidence that we hear in the Bible actually would stand up to the scrutiny of a court of law. Eyewitnesses, circumstantial evidence with eyewitnesses attest to the veracity of the resurrected, risen Christ. And so we have a faith that responds to those witnesses, to those testimonies. Sometimes I talk to people and they say, well, I want to know the science of the resurrection. Was anybody there? And I'll tell you, you will know the science of the resurrection when you get there, if you still need to know it, really. I don't know that we'll, there's some questions I have that I think will just disappear when we're in his presence. But we can trust with certainty the fact of the resurrection based on these witnesses. Let's pray together. Father God, I know that I need to walk with you. I need to walk with you more than 3 hours. I need the road that leads to a deeper understanding of you, a deeper understanding of the Scripture and how you fulfill the Scripture. And so that's my journey. I need the journey that's not afraid of questions and not afraid of grief, but receives the comfort, the arms of Jesus, the touch of Jesus, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, but does not demand something that I simply need to trust. I know that I need the journey that brings me to a burning heart that knows you. Many times the beginning of that journey is with a simple prayer that says, Lord, I surrender to you. I don't know all of what this means, but I choose to walk with you. I choose to put myself in your way and to put myself into your word and to put myself into times of prayer. I need this walk, this journey. Father God, we thank you for a day in which we celebrate with those around the world who have found the journey of faith, walking with Jesus. That is the victory, and we celebrate this victory. In Jesus' name, amen.